Book of Proverbs was written by the wisest man to have ever lived, King Solomon. He was the third king of Israel, and scripture says about Solomon that he loved God and he loved following his decrees. And that one day God appeared to Solomon in a dream. This is in 1 Kings. God appeared to Solomon in a dream and he asked him, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, Solomon begins his reply to God. Solomon says, "Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" And in verse 10, the Lord was pleased with Solomon, was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. For God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and not asked for long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you long life." He's going to get it all, isn't he? God granted Solomon wisdom and understanding heart. And he wrote this book of Proverbs to convey this wisdom. Think about it. The wisest man to have ever lived wrote the book that we're studying now. Hopefully you'll be reading through the next several weeks. Who doesn't want to glean from this type of wisdom? That we might live holy and godly lives, that we might live according to God's purpose and will for our lives. So this is the purpose of this particular series. It's the purpose of this book, which is to give us wisdom for living in a way that brings God glory. And the first four verses of the Bible, the first four verses of this passage, Solomon lays out the purpose for this book. Proverbs 1, 2 through 6 says this. The Proverbs, that is, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. So again, our goal in this series is to pursue wisdom and hopefully to form some godly habits. But it starts with your attitude and your willingness. Did you show up here today in the right attitude, the right frame of mind? Do you have a willing heart? You want to learn from God and from his word? If you do, then you're going to be blessed today as we study Proverbs chapter 1, and we focus on these habits. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, "But don't just listen to the word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." Now, doesn't this sound like something Solomon would say? It's interesting that each one of us, and we all know this is true, everyone in this room, you were not born with habits at all. There weren't a bunch of habits. You know, you eat breakfast after you brush your teeth. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. No, you leave the toilet seat up or down. When you wake up in the morning, I mean, all of your habits are what? They are developed. You were not born with any of these habits, whether good or bad. It's interesting to think about what we have done with our habits. We develop them, we cultivate them, we care for them, and we feed them. Especially the ones that we really love. Now, in order to form new habits, godly habits, we must eliminate the sinful ones and replace them with godly ones. And the first habit that we're going to talk about, introducing a sermon, that we should all put into practice is this. fearing God. This is a habit of thought and in our thinking. Now, in our modern world, everybody teaches us we should not. God is our buddy. God is your best friend. There's no reason to fear him, no reason to fear him at all. Yet the Bible tells us over and over to fear God. And even in what Solomon says here, he says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. So if you have no fear of God, what does it say about your level of knowledge? This says you're missing out on something. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, this is a serious issue, this idea that we need wisdom for living in this world. Seriously, think about this. It's only a matter, listen, everyone in this room, it is only a matter of time before your son or your daughter or your granddaughter or maybe a close friend, their daughter comes home and announces their engagement. And it's a homosexual relationship. How are you going to respond to that? You're going to say, well, it's against God's word. Well, it's legal. How are you going to respond to that? In our culture today, let's say like Debbie's Flower Shop next door, homosexual comes in the door and wants flowers for their wedding and wants Debbie to bless that. And she says, no, I refuse to support gay marriage. And then the state of Illinois comes along and fines her $135,000 for discriminating against that couple. Do you think I'm making that up? No, I am not. In Oregon, there's a bakery will not provide cake for a homosexual wedding. The state of Oregon has fined them $135,000 for standing up for their beliefs. If you think that's going to stay in Oregon, you are sadly mistaken. And so here we are in a day and age when we really, really need the wisdom of Solomon, don't we? And it starts with this, the fear of the Lord. And the people who do not fear God, they just cast him aside. The Bible says that one day evil is going to be called good, good's going to be called evil. And what are we living in today? This world, this culture is calling everything that we believe in this room evil. This is a fact. We need God's wisdom. I can't think of any time in history when we didn't need godly discernment and wisdom more. The government and the culture is slowly taking away our freedoms. They are being eroded. The minority is effectively silencing the majority. And so how are we as a church going to respond? How are we going to be wise and know how to live and to minister to our culture, to our friends, our coworkers? We need that wisdom today. James said that if you need wisdom, ask our generous God who will give it to you. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Think about Job. As most of you know, Job suffered a great deal, both physically in his physical body, his emotions, and materially. He lost more than most of us can comprehend. And yet he understood this, that the fear of God was the foundation of true wisdom. And that true wisdom was hidden from man without God. In Job 28, he says this, but do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky can't discover it. God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. And in verse 28, and this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Solomon goes on to talk about the fact in these next few verses, after saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he says, choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Recall what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said this, talking about people. He said, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. And he says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you do not even know God at all. This is in 1 Corinthians. This is a message to Christians in the church. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Solomon goes on to talk about this. He says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Kids, are you listening? This is for you. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and will be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. In verse 12, let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we will get. We'll fill our houses with the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their plan, from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They turn to murder. Listen, if a bird sees a trap set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Listen to what Solomon is saying. Choose your friends wisely. If someone tries to entice you to sin, flee. What did Satan say to Eve? He said, listen, he said, did God really say? And you know what? If she would have left right then, history might be totally different. No, she stayed there and engaged him and debated with him, didn't she? Like your friend, hey, let's go run over here and, well, I don't want to use too many examples. Just imagine your friends trying to encourage you to do something that's wrong. Let's go over here and let's do this. And you're going to sit there and debate the merits of whether we break this or break that or break this rule or go here and do that. Why debate the merits of it? Listen, think about this. If a bird sees a trap that's being set, it what? It knows to stay away. Verse 17 says, even a bird. Are birds smarter than humans? Are birds smarter than humans? When a bird sees trouble, it knows to what? Stay away. You guys aren't laughing very much on these. He's not running very well there. See, you guys missed it. It flew right by you. Jeez. I guess I need to have audio and video. All right, I'm not that good. Listen, I know this was funny, but seriously, when a bird sees a trap, when a bird sees trouble, it flees, right? And when you and I see trouble, when we see sin tempting us, what do? We reason with it. We think about it. Well, maybe I'll get away with it this time. And well, you know what? I've been getting away with it for quite a while. I think I'll just keep getting away with it. Isn't that what happens? We see a trap, we see danger, and we play around with it. But even a bird wouldn't be so stupid. The sight of danger leads to the avoidance of danger. The sight of danger leads to the avoidance. Instinct directs the bird, reason the man. Yet man is so infatuated with sin that in his pride he will not do what the bird does by instinct. She flies away from the net that has been spread out for her, but man rushes into it. These men sought to kill others by waylaying them, but it was only going to hurt themselves. Listen, especially those of you who live at home with your mom and dad or your grandparents. If your parents are warning you or correcting you about the people that you're hanging around with, don't be embittered. Only a fool will despise the wisdom and discipline, and it will lead you to where? What are the consequences of being a fool? Not listening to your parents, not listening to the instinct, which is to flee sin. Solomon goes on in verse 20. Listen, wisdom shouts from the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish in mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh at you when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge, and they chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. Wow. Solomon doesn't mince any words, does he? Is this all true? Has he expressed wisdom that all of us should be applying in our own lives? He has, hasn't he? The consequences for sin are dire. The foolish are hard-hearted toward God. They won't listen to wise counsel. But here's the key to this word. The definition for a fool is not somebody who's not smart. It's somebody who refuses to listen. Who refuses to listen to correction or discipline. They refuse to obey God. This is what Paul said in Romans 1. He's picking up on this theme. In Romans chapter 1, he says this about the fools. He says, since they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking, and he let them do things that should never be done. Did you catch that? God abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling. And the list goes on. However, he ends it in verse 33 like this. Listen to the promise for that person who listens. He says, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by the fear of harm. All who listen will live in peace, untroubled by the fear of harm. I want to end with this story. This is a story and an account of a guy who was, he used to do physical rehabilitation. Okay, this was his profession. Listen to this story. A rehabilitation counselor took an early retirement to spend the rest of his life preaching. One day while addressing an audience, he told of how early in his career, he found a young boy with several birth defects. He arranged financial and medical help, skilled surgeon restored the child's facial appearance, trained therapists taught him to speak and to walk. By his teens, the boy was able to take part in all the activities of young people. Addressing the crowd, the retired counselor asked, what do you think has become of this young man? One guessed that since the young man had overcome such physical deformities, he may have dedicated himself to becoming a great athlete. Someone else thought, since his life had been changed by medical doctors, that he had become a skilled surgeon. No, none of these, the retired counselor said sadly. The man is a prisoner, serving a life sentence for murder. We were able to restore his physical features and his ability to walk and act, but we failed to teach him where to walk and how to act. I was successful in helping the boy physically, but I failed to help him spiritually. From that day on, I have determined to use the rest of my life to help people direct their steps and their actions towards glorifying God. You know, this story is getting retold and retold in our country over and over again. People devoting themselves to helping with the physical, with the material, and totally paying no attention to the spiritual, to the character, to the inner working of a person. This young boy, with all these birth defects, by his teenage years, all those are restored, walking, talking, and doing everything that you'd expect him to do. Think about the man hours invested in giving this boy the physical tools, the mental tools, the ability to talk. Think about all the hours invested in him. And if they'd spent any of that time investing in his character, he would not have been a murderer. And that's where we are today. We are so committed to helping people emotionally, financially, educationally, and we're missing the mark. And look at where our country is going as a result. The church no longer disciples people. Get them saved. Pray that they show up to church and pray that they have a desire to read God's word. But there's almost no effort to teach and correct. And when someone does try to correct you, guess what happens? Right out the door. We're a people that hates to be corrected. And we're foolish as a result. Listen, wisdom isn't what you know. It's what you apply that you know. To know God, to seek God, means to have an understanding and the discipline to apply it to your daily life. A wise person is one who is sensitive to the Lord and who subjects himself to God. You know what? These habits that we're going to be talking about, these practices, this wisdom through the book of Proverbs, this first habit, to fear God. You know, you have a lackadaisical, complacent attitude about God. Well, you know what? That in turn makes you care, you could care less about sinning. You don't care if you're hurting God's, you don't care if it hurts God when you sin. Fear of God, a healthy fear, a reverence. Fear of God, choosing your friends wisely and fleeing from sin. Think about this. The bird flees from danger. The bird flees from a trap, and you and I, we reason with it. You know, that's a habit of thinking. Escape, run away. And wherever you can find wisdom, don't ignore godly advice. Pray with me. Father, I pray that each and every one of us that we have heard this teaching, this encouragement, these warnings from Solomon, what it means to be wise, what it means to live a godly and a holy life. And wisdom begins with a reverence and a fear of you. Father, teach each one of us what that means in our daily lives. Maybe we've just been disregarded. Maybe we just haven't thought about it. And I pray that each one of us, Lord, would take sin seriously, choose our friends wisely, and flee from sin. Please help us, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless your word and bless every person who has heard it, that we might apply it to our lives, that we wouldn't be like James said, to have heard the word and to ignore it. Please don't let that be said of any of us in this room. Lord, may you be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen.